This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
While it's been a big problem in recent years for the U.S. military, suicides have risen this year by as much as 20% as service members struggle with isolation amid other impacts of COVID-19, added to pressures of deploying to war zones and responding to disasters and civil unrest, incidents of violent behavior also spiking. The numbers vary by service, but it's especially taking its toll in the Army, where senior leaders say there's been a 30% jump in active duty suicides this year so far compared to this time last year. They're looking at ways to shorten combat deployments and put more focus on soldier well-being. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo criticizing the media for unfair treatment of the administration's foreign policy, telling Fox News the media hasn't told positive stories about foreign policy accomplishments. This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Many businesses in Cleveland are already boarding up their establishments ahead of tomorrow's first presidential debate in that city. They're concerned of some unrest which could arise before, during, and after that 90-minute event, pitting President Trump against Democratic nominee Joe Biden. It's going to be moderated by Chris Wallace of Fox News. The mayor of Cleveland is holding a news briefing later to address such worries. A University of Utah law professor says if Judge Amy Coney Barrett is confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court, he doesn't believe she would have as big an impact on court decisions as some people have been predicting. Professor Paul Castle, who once clerked for the late Justice Anton Scalia, says,
I don't think we're going to see any radical shifts in jurisprudence either on statutory issues like the Affordable Care Act or constitutional issues like Roe versus Wade.
He predicts Barrett would apply current law rather than make new law from the bench. And this is USA Radio News.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
No weather relief for weary firefighters as a heat wave, low humidity, and gusty winds have California facing still more fire danger. A red flag warning took effect for much of Northern California and parts of Southern California over the weekend, and it is still in effect. Two new fires in Northern California are now burning thousands of acres already. It's been a record-setting season for wildfires in the Golden State, with over 3.7 million acres already scorched, and many fires still burning, some of them having scorched over 100,000 acres alone. Former 49ers legend Joe Montana and his wife Jennifer stopping their grandchild from being kidnapped. Authorities say that Montana flagged down a deputy near their Malibu home yesterday after a woman had gotten into the house and tried to grab their 9-month-old grandchild. Montana and his wife were able to wrestle the baby away. The suspect initially escaped but was later caught by deputies. actor and comedian Dax Shepard admits he's been battling an opioid addiction. During an episode of his podcast, Armchair Expert, Shepard said that he's been hooked on a painkiller, Vicodin, for the past couple of months. He had been sober for years, 16 years. Shepard said he was moving towards recovery, saying as of Friday, he'd been sober again for 11 days. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Attention! This is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hear what's that sound? Everybody look what's going now. Stop.
Well, hello, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Boy, I tell you, we've had a great day, some excellent guests, expand your understanding of what's happening in your world, you know, politically and otherwise. Glad you could join us, and we're also glad that we've got another one of these great guests, Julio Rivera, who is the editorial director for ReactionaryTimes.com, small business consultant, featured columnist at Newsmax.com, LiveZet, and The Washington Times. Julio, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. Always good to be on with you, Bill.
Always good. Hey, buddy, being a Puerto Rican, which you are, and of course the conversation, I thought about you immediately when the Democrats said, hey, we're going to make Puerto Rico a state, and in order to gain some sort of political advantage, what's your feeling on that?
Oh, God, no. I don't want Puerto Rico to ever be a state. For political reasons, because, I mean, it's automatically going to be, you know, two additional senators and 4 million people. I don't know what that breaks down to congressionally, probably about like six or seven Congress people or whatever. Whatever it is, it's definitely a net loss for the GOP. It's a net loss for conservatism, and it's a net loss for ethics and politics, because Puerto Rico is one of the most corrupt political structures in this hemisphere, to be honest with you. I mean, if you look at, and I did a lot of writing on this after the hurricane, PREPA, the kickbacks to politicians. I mean, you know, my father is no longer with us as kind of, I wouldn't say completely directly as a result of, but, you know, indirectly to somewhat directly as a result of this type of, fraud, and, you know, it's definitely not something we want. We don't want to see that. We don't want to see D.C. as well. They've also floated the idea of D.C. as a state. I think that would also be horrible. That would be four. They're going to give them four senators. No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, Julio, it's interesting you should say, but I want to pick up on this part that, you were hesitant to describe in your father's life, and that, what happens when you are in a corrupt environment. It doesn't promote life. And I think that if any sociologist, any student of these political dynamics, what it does to life expectancy and quality of life, I mean, this is why people are scrambling to come to America, even as dysfunctional as it may be right now. For the most part, when you consider, quality of life and life expectancy, mo beta here in the United States of America by comparison, living in, let's just say Venezuela, or even in Puerto Rico in these current times, because they have to I think as a nation, or any nation for that matter, has to get serious about serving its people and liberating its people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't really do much better than America. But listen, that can change. That can change in an election. It can change in a stolen election, which I'm really worried about. I mean, I'm pretty sure that you've already probably talked about the Project Veritas.
I mentioned this morning, but let's talk more about it. I mean, this is incredibly revealing, and I'm sitting here counting down the minutes to see when is the Justice Department break into this deal big time. I mean, this is quite revelatory. Go ahead and tell our audience what you saw.
Well, I mean, basically what we know now, and it's been uncovered and we have evidence of it now, is that, you know, Ilhan Omar's people have been ballot harvesting. You know, there's a large influx of this Somalian population in her district. And basically what they're doing is they're collecting the ballots of these elderly people. I guess there's a lot of elderly people, and they go to where they are, or whether they are consolidated in certain nursing communities, and they're collecting large amounts of these ballots, and they're going to go ahead, and they're being paid to go ahead, and this is basically like, you know, turning into the worst case scenario for this election cycle, because it's one thing if you have some independent political hacks that, let's say, are members of, you know, on a small scale, the Democratic Party. Let's say that they're, you know, municipal level, county level, these kinds of people pulling some kind of shenanigans, you know, these sort of kind of in the shadow types, which I'm sure that there's going to be some instances of that. But you're talking about people connected to a congresswoman. Mm-hmm. I mean, how could this happen in our country? She needs to be impeached immediately. I would immediately call for an investigation. And then if the investigation shows that this is something that was done with her knowledge, whether it was anecdotal evidence of her knowledge or she kind of knew about it or whatever. But I mean, if she knew about it in any way, shape or form, you know, I mean, you got to give her the grant or the benefit of the doubt and actually have an investigation and make sure these aren't just some mavericks on her team. But if she knew anything about it, she needs to be impeached immediately. And they need to go ahead and replace her on the ballot you know, obviously, or whatever it can be done at this point. But, I mean, this is somewhere where the Democrats themselves have to step up. If they have any sort of conscience whatsoever, you know, if there's any sort of ethics left inside that party, they need to go ahead and do something about this.
Well, you know, because we know comparatively, if it was a Republican, that person would have been gone like yesterday. You know, they would have had a Senate, ethics hearing or a congressional ethics hearing, and it would have been gone and done away with. And immediately, one of the first things they would have done is limit any kind of access to a committee. She's on, a critical committee, important committee, these kind of things, and just say, hey, time out, and, all this stuff. I mean, there's so much stuff. And there's been so much stuff about Ilhan Omar, you know, married to her brother and one to another, and it keeps on going on and on, but yet there's covering for it. But this is too revealing, like you said. I mean, the on tape, they have the guy, he's got hundreds of ballots in his hand. He says his car is filled with ballots. To go, what is all this? And so then that's just ballot harvesting there, right? That's taking place. Mm-hmm. The president has said from day one, this mail-in ballot scheme that the Democrats have come up with, all in the name of COVID, what it is doing is opening up the door to voter fraud to an immense dimension. And, of course, you have Democrats, including Eric Holder, who has been kind of the grandfather in California of ballot harvesting, right, and the former attorney general, who has told everybody that voter fraud doesn't exist in America. I mean, what kind of knuckleheads do you think we are? People are getting indicted for voter fraud. They are spending time in jail for voter fraud. And you say it doesn't exist. I mean, to me, you lose all sense of credibility. And why we would ever listen to you ever again until you reconcile that is beyond me.
Exactly. And you know this from being in California. A lot of these, like the more competitive, like congressional districts, sometimes they're decided by a couple of hundred to just a few thousand votes. So, I mean, really, in some of these areas, every vote truly does count. And then the other thing about this, you know, the blatant, you know, blanket denial that, let's say, somebody like Eric Holder has, is that you have to really consider who votes when you have a national election. It's not like you have 100% turnout. And right. that's why this widespread mail balloting is particularly dangerous, because it's really, really easy to come out and, you know, grab a couple of thousand. You know, you go to certain places where, you know, let's say you go to certain apartment buildings and certain neighborhoods and certain places like that, where, let's say, some of those people would probably either ignore the mail ballot, they wouldn't normally vote. Those things make a big, big difference. And it's difficult because, I mean, you have Democratic governors, rather, in these battleground states that have gone ahead and signed off on this. This is somewhere
exactly.
where...
We've got to go to break. We've got more from Julio Rivera after this. Stay with us.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. 800-470-7113. That's 800-470-7113.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
The queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Along with Julio, me and Julio, we're hanging and having a good time here, talking about life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, what this country is all about. Julio, I want you to finish out what you were saying earlier about the implications of, you know, what's happening in these various states. And that, you know, I think you bring up an excellent point that if the governors want to do this and they want to allow for this kind of ineptness, that's, you know, that's on them and that's for the state. But somehow we have to find a way to mitigate this insanity on a federal level, right?
Yeah, absolutely. What I would do is I would try to find a legal mechanism, you know, coming from out of D.C., from the executive branch, stating that, you know, because this is a national election, very important. There's Congress, congressional seats, Senate seats, the presidency of the United States. If these idiot governors in these battleground states that are basically, they know they're going to lose because Trump's been kicking butt since he's been president. If they want to go ahead and muck up their election, that these mail votes that are sent out, they should only count the votes, or legitimately count the votes that are for either gubernatorial races, mayoral races, you know, county level seats, anything that's limited to the confines of that state. But I would say that for actually the to vote for president, vote for Congress, vote for Senate, you need to either vote in person or actually do an absentee ballot and go through the process of getting an absentee ballot. And you know, these votes are these widespread mail ballots that are being sent out, they should not be able to use those votes to count for the presidential, senatorial, and congressional race. They have to find a mechanism to do that, either by executive order or maybe they can do something through Congress. I mean, I would doubt that the House Democrats would be on board for that. But
right.
Trump's got to figure something out here. Because, I mean, listen, if you consider the number of people who actually vote in national elections, and you're talking about 100% of the voters in a state getting ballots, it just leaves way too much room for shenanigans to occur.
Mm-hmm. Leo, you're a small business consultant. You know how business works. I've been in business most of my life as well and realize, you know, basic marketing rules and how the mail works, that 20% of any zip code at any given time every year moves out. So if you're going and you're using information, even though, I mean, it's not like the post office has a 100% up-to-date database. So even these direct marketeers, they send out this stuff knowing that 20% of what they send out is going to end up in the trash can directly. We're already finding, you know, ballots that are thrown on the roadside, which is very spurious, especially when you realize that those ballots were for Donald Trump. You know, why wasn't there a mixture of Biden and Trump, but there was like 1,600 ballots with Donald Trump's name on it that were thrown into a ditch?
Yeah, it's horrible. And even worse, there was the instance of there were military ballots
exactly
belonging to the military that were universally all for Trump. That's really sad. I think it's a real slap in the face of, you know, the heroes that really enable our freedom. But yeah, I mean, this election here, like I said, I mean, I think that what we have to do is we have to maybe have the executive branch, maybe President Trump can form a committee to go ahead and review the results of these elections. I mean, you know, I think that they're going to find, you know, like if you automatically put a mechanism in place, let's say, to conduct a recount in certain
yes.
states, that could be another thing, too. You know, automatically say that, okay, we're going to – any state that's doing the widespread mail balloting is automatically – going to have them.
They're up for an audit.
You can actually tally the votes.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Review the votes, how they came in, and try to ensure that there wasn't any fraud. I mean, this is history here. This is
going yes.
to be potentially where America takes the dark turn, you know, towards socialism here. And it really is. If you consider George Soros and everything he's doing to influence this election, you know, he's trying to break the last great free society, the great free republic, capitalism, all these things are under attack in this election. And that's really why he's funding all these Black Lives Matter groups, MoveOn.org, all these leftist groups that are causing this dissension. He wants to destroy America in his lifetime. And people that, you know, try to write that off as a conspiracy theory, they're just really blind to the truth. You know, this is actually what's going on. You know,
well, even Fox sold themselves out the other night. I don't know if you saw that interview with Newt Gingrich. You know, he brings up Soros, and they go, "Oh, you know, we can't. You know, no, that's we can't talk about that." And of course, it's one thing. I mean, Melissa Francis is a little bit more fair-minded. I was surprised. So obviously, this was a dictate from, you know, Fox Corporate and what came out of the control room. And of course, Marie Harf. You expect Marie Harf. She's a Biden supporter. She was with the Obama regime. So you expect her to, you know, cancel out any concern about George Soros. And like, I mean, Newt Gingrich is dumbfounded by the obvious and going, oh, well, I guess it's foreboding. Like, you know, but here on Bill Martinez Live, we pursue the truth no matter where it leads. So whatever it is, whether it's this or, you know, like we were talking about in California, where Judicial Watch, you know, due to FOIA requests and that, discovered that there were over 3 million names on their voter rolls that were invalid. And California admitted to only half of that and still have not removed those names from the voter rolls. The fact of the matter, like you say, they're all very casual about it. And this has been going on, voter fraud like this. We also, which is the other thing, too, that surprises me, was I believe it was this happened on the second term and reelection of Barack Obama, where they discovered there were like 58 voting districts. I believe it was in Pennsylvania, where 58 voting districts voted 100% for Barack Obama.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So
I actually spoke about that on Reactionary Times TV recently with Kathy Barnett. That's impossible. That's an impossibility. And again, that's something that mail vote, unfortunately, you know, you're going to get probably a surge in numbers. And I guarantee you it's harvested ballots for Democrats. You know, mm-hmm. Republicans don't generally engage. I can't think of one instance of Republican voting fraud that pops to my mind, but I can think of several of Democrats, and it's always in those urban areas. Democrats are notorious for it. They even do it to each other. I know in Paterson, New Jersey, where I come from, like in primaries, there'll be like one Democrat that's dirtier than the other Democrat will do a little ballot harvesting or some sort of voter fraud. Mm-hmm. There's always something mixed in these urban areas. And that's really what you have to watch, the battleground districts that have a large urban population.
Well, we had a situation in the last election where it was a Republican involved in ballot harvesting, but the person that affected it was a Democratic operative. And, you know, and the Democrats, they take that. They forget about that. They only know that it was with a Republican candidate. Of course, they had to end up redoing, you know, the election all over again. Remember?
Yeah, well, they always have to have something to point at. So even if they have to fabricate it, I guess that's the one example they could use in their talking point.
Right, but I think you're mostly right that you only hear about it, about Democrats doing this. The other thing I will say this, even going back to what we talked about with the Somalis in Minnesota, there is something about our humanity that speaks out to unfairness. And even the people there in Minnesota, the Somali districts, are saying this is unfair what Ilhan Omar has been doing.
Well, hopefully they're starting to assimilate to America, and they're starting to see that, you know, we don't have a state of society like the one that they came from, and they'll stand up against it, because I think that they've probably seen the worst side of statism, you know, coming from Somalia, and they probably don't want to see it here in America.
Well, we've got the presidential debate coming up tomorrow, the first one. Nancy Pelosi is saying that Joe Biden shouldn't even bother to debate, that the president is not worthy of this. Boy, she could only wish that that would happen, that somehow Biden not show up for that debate, right?
Yeah, I think Joe Biden's going to be thinking he's like on a Zoom meeting or something. Like he's probably not even going to know what's going on. It's gotten really sad. I think that tomorrow night, a lot of things about Joe Biden and his cognitive failings are going to be.
I think so.
We
got to leave it there. We're out of time.
Sponsored by Amazon. 2020 hasn't gone as planned, but the silver lining for some has been families spending more time together. From school in the kitchen to intimate family-focused holiday shindigs, fall presents another season of togetherness, and Amazon Prime offers unmatched benefits to add ease, convenience, and fun to the remainder of 2020. Need school supplies or decorations? Prime members enjoy fast, free delivery on millions of Prime-eligible items with no minimum purchase. Fall game days and holidays call for tasty snacks. Prime offers free 2-hour grocery delivery in more than 2,000 cities from Amazon Fresh and Whole Foods Market. As the weather gets cooler, cozy up with Prime's entertainment benefits for the whole family, including Prime Video, Amazon Music, Prime Reading, and Prime Gaming. Bradley Mattinger, Amazon, says,
Prime offers flexible payment options to suit members' lifestyles with monthly and annual plans. Prime also offers a discounted membership to college students and qualifying government assistance recipients.
Visit Amazon.com/Prime to sign up or start a 30-day free trial.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
While it's been a big problem in recent years for the U.S. military, suicides have risen this year by as much as 20% as service members struggle with isolation amid other impacts of COVID-19, added to pressures of deploying to war zones and responding to disasters and civil unrest. Incidents of violent behavior also spiking. The numbers vary by service, but it's especially taking its toll in the Army, where senior leaders say there's been a 30% jump in active duty suicides this year so far compared to this time last year. They're looking at ways to shorten combat deployments and put more focus on soldier well-being. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo criticizing the media for unfair treatment of the administration's foreign policy, telling Fox News the media hasn't told positive stories about foreign policy accomplishments. This is USA Radio News.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent, just the way you'd like to hear from us, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Dr. Wilfred Riley joins us, the political science professor. We're into political science professoring this morning. I hope that's okay, but in both cases, we're blessed to have such brilliant contributors that are helping us balance out and discern what is happening in our culture today. He's the political science professor at Kentucky State University, author of Taboo. I'll tell you, this is quickly becoming one of my favorite books. The research, the knowledge, I can appreciate, Dr. Riley, that sometimes when the debate is underway, it takes a while for the emotions to be set aside to allow the facts to enter into the discussion. And I would say right now, particularly with the Breonna Taylor situation, facts are being set aside. We're still dealing with emotions. But we've got to get on the other side of this soon and very soon, just for the mental health of America and, if I might say, the healing of this racial divide. What do you say?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, obviously, when a tragedy occurs, and I mean, the Breonna Taylor case was a tragedy. I mean, you had a young EMT trained as a nurse, I mean, killed in an unfortunate incident, accident, almost. The police were serving a warrant. warrant her boyfriend opened fire and she was killed. I mean, the immediate reaction is going to be to venerate the dead person. It's going to be to say positive things. It's going to be to burn candles. And I think that's a healthy human reaction. You don't want to come in and appear critical or harsh. But at a certain point, if people on either side of the political spectrum, and I think recently you've seen this mostly from the left, start using or exploiting that and saying things that in a very broad sense are true, talking about things like, again, in Louisville, the idea has come up of the abolition of all police.
Right.
Yeah, normal citizens at some point do have to bring up the facts and say, well, what we're being told isn't necessarily what's being presented, or what we're being told, what's being presented to us isn't necessarily the reality.
Right.
I mean, in the Breonna Taylor case, the story early on was essentially that police had gone to almost the wrong address, and they had kicked in the door without a word of warning, and perhaps for racial reasons, they had opened fire, and they had killed this young nurse. And it turned out that that's not really accurate. The police warrant we've known for more than a month now contained the correct address. The suspicion of law enforcement officers was that Miss Taylor had been involved with money management for her ex-boyfriend's drug business. Her ex-boyfriend is one of the bigger, quote-unquote, D-boys in Louisville. He was a drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
When police got to this address, Breonna Taylor's new boyfriend... Now, first of all, there's some controversy about whether the police knocked and announced themselves. Now, the Attorney General of Kentucky said pretty emphatically that they did.
Yes, exactly.
But at any rate...
And they had a witness, a non-participating witness, verify that.
Yeah, they did bring forward a witness who's an African-American business person. Yeah, Cameron himself is black, by the way. We discussed Cameron's real solid performance at the recent Republican convention.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, so a lot of this turned out not to be real. But the key point here is that Breonna Taylor's new boyfriend, whatever he heard, perhaps he thought, you know, thugs were saying police as a lie or as a setup. He suspected that this was Breonna Taylor's ex-boyfriend with some friends. So he had a legal gun on him, and he opened fire, and he actually shot a police officer, nearly killed him, broke his leg bone, I believe. That guy is still off duty. The police returned fire, and they killed Breonna Taylor rather than the boyfriend. Some people have speculated he used her as a human shield. I've personally never seen any evidence of that. But at any rate, right. She was killed. And that's the tragedy. But when you look at that in reality, I mean, police went to the correct address. Somebody shot at them. You know, they took fire and they returned fire. There's not going to be a conviction for something like murder in that case. And I don't necessarily think the media has been very honest in presenting all of the facts of that situation.
Well, even from the get-go, Wilfred, I mean, come on. They knew a police officer had been shot. This was the narrative was formed in such a way that it would promote BLM and defunding police and systemic racism. They didn't lay out that, you know, here it is, you had the boyfriend that was, I mean, we've had to pull this out like an onion skin informative experience here. And this was stuff the media knew but chose not to report on to really set the stage that added to this perception of systemic racism.
Well, yeah, you've seen this in a lot of cases. I mean, the initial presentation of the Jacob Blake case, I mean, that's another complex, unfortunate situation. But I mean, come on. The initial presentation of the Jacob Blake case was that this good Samaritan African-American male had gone to a friend's house to break up a fight between two women, and the cops showed up and shot him because he was black. And what actually turned out to have happened is that Jacob Blake was a rapist. He faced a credible charge, a felony sexual assault. The person who called the police on him was the victim.
Yes.
He had come back, and there was an accusation of intimidation. He had literally taken her house and car keys from her, this woman. When police showed up, there was a violent brawl between them and Mr. Blake. At one point, a cop had Blake in a chokehold. At another point, that reversed. Blake had a cop in a chokehold. They attempted to tase him. He was wearing thick clothes in northern Wisconsin. This didn't work. And finally, as he opened the door of the vehicle, it wasn't his, remember, this was the keys that he had taken.
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to be going for a weapon that turned out to be a large Bowie-style knife. The cop shot him. So the reality, you can say perhaps we should investigate those officers, but the reality is very different from the presented narrative. And your audience should get used to understanding that that's usually the case if they haven't already.
Right.
The initial stories come from street witnesses or from activists, and the reality turns out to be a lot more different, a lot different, a lot more complex.
But the problem we run into is there's an expectation and a perception so that when an indictment comes down, like last night in Louisville, then you have rioting, you know, because people, again, it feeds that narrative that it's systemic racism and including a black attorney general, that they're all in to protect the system and the establishment.
Well, this is a real problem. One of the issues with this is that the original stories here very often come either from organized groups like BLM Louisville, for example, mm-hmm. which was heavy on the ground for this one, or from the lawyer for the individual who's involved in the police shooting. And there's one guy, Benjamin Crump, attorney Ben Crump,
yes.
who I've actually met. I mean, funny guy in person, but who's the lawyer for a large number of the individuals involved in these quote-unquote race violence cases. I mean, he was originally the Martin family's attorney in the Trayvon Martin case.
And we need to talk about that because of the misrepresentation in that, as brought out clearly by Joel Gilbert, with him exchanging, I mean, he's an officer of the court. He exchanged a witness in order to prejudice the story and the narrative on the Trayvon Martin case, and he still is an attorney. And as far as I'm concerned, he should be absolutely, his law license should be taken away from him. He should not be practicing law.
Well, yeah, now that's an interesting point. I mean, there is for those listening who didn't get that reference, I mean, there is a right-leaning but pretty well-known documentary film, The Trayvon Hoax, that looks at even the original Trayvon Martin case and alleges that the lawyer in that case substituted basically a fake witness for an original witness who was unprepared to testify that, you know, Trayvon Martin hadn't been fighting. He'd just been attacked by George Zimmerman. It was Martin screaming in the tapes we heard as opposed to Zimmerman. It was probably Zimmerman, so on down the line. And, yeah, this same guy has been involved in most of the cases since then. If you're talking about Michael Brown, you're talking about Jacob Blake. I don't know about George Floyd, but I wouldn't be surprised. But very often, something like a radical lawyer or activist on the ground are going to be the first people that come forward with a narrative and say this is what happened. Mm-hmm. And very, very often, as with Michael Brown, we find that original narrative is riddled with lies. It's not true. It comes from friends of the decedent, of the victim. And this is something that's consistently denied. I mean, even President Obama at one point said, well, people just don't lie about things like this, talking about Michael Brown. I believe
right.
He was the president at the time. It turns out, unfortunately, that's not true.
Right. Well, and he even said that Trayvon Martin could have been his son.
Well, that's an interesting one, and that is wildly unlikely to be true. I mean, whether you like Mr. Obama or not, he was a sort of dignified, upper-class guy, suit every day. I mean, it's extremely unlikely that Barack Obama's son would have been outside smoking pot at 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the direction he chose to go with that, as opposed to saying, well, I have my opinions as a black man or as a left-leaning guy, but I'm the president of the United States. I oversee law enforcement. The comment was, this could have been my own kid. And that's one of those things that we've associated with these cases ever since, that this could be anybody. Any young black man, or for that matter, working-class white guy, you're outside, you encounter the police, they could take your life. And in reality, that's extremely, extremely unlikely. I mean, there were 60 police shootings of unarmed men or unarmed people last year, and there were 60 million police encounters. So you're literally talking about one in a million
odds
of that happened.
We've got to go to break, and we've got more from Dr. Riley after this. Stay with us.
Here's Don Schenk with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the radio in 27 languages.
God is using the needs brought on by COVID-19 to open doors in Thailand and deepen relationships with people seeking hope. Gospel workers paid weekly visits to a couple they have shared Christ with for 10 years to assist with routine tasks and applications for government assistance. They gifted their friends with audio equipment and an invitation to listen to life's answers as they continue to explore Jesus. God is using these friendships for the gospel. And it's exciting to realize that several years before God opened the door to broadcast the gospel in Thailand, He was laying the groundwork. It's a reminder of the importance of building long-term relationships with the people we want Jesus to rescue.
To read more stories of how the Tide Ministry, boots on the ground in Thailand, are building relationships and encouraging more seekers to embrace Jesus as their Savior, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000.
Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-519-3488. 800-519-3488. 800-519-3488. That's 800-519-3488. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
Oh, and I don't want you to grow weary in doing that which is good and right. There's no doubt, as Dr. Wilfred Riley says, we are in the season of riots and disruption, and we can probably count on more. I mean, we already see a couple of things coming at us right now as the president is about ready to announce the replacement for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And then also the threats of the left saying, look, they're going to revolt and there's going to be riots in the street if Donald Trump is reelected. We've got quite a future ahead of us here, Wilford.
Some of the things that are being said, I mean, obviously neither Trump nor Biden is going to insist on holding office if they don't get elected in November. I mean, there's some fantasy out there, but there's also some reality. I mean, we recently saw the passing of the notorious RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I mean, when President Trump replaces her with the qualified conservative female justice like Amy Coney Barrett, you're going to see some clashes in the street. Yeah, but I think that a bigger source of this is going to be the fact that a lot of these legal cases that are receiving a great deal of press, a play in the press right now, aren't going to turn out the way most people think that they will, probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the George Floyd case, the very bad policing involved there, but there was enough fentanyl in Mr. Floyd's bloodstream to kill 2 average people, as I understand the data. Right. So that the defense is going to be, this was an overdose, this wasn't a murder. Jacob Blake, I mean, a situation where a guy who's been credibly accused of rape appears to be going for a Bowie knife, cop shoots him. I don't think the officers are going to be convicted in that case. I mean, you got Kyle Rittenhouse. The defense there is going to be that this was self-defense during a gun battle, and I think that defense is probably going to be successful. So in every one of these cases, we've seen the presentation of sort of an unprovoked murder rather than this complex, bloody situation, often with officers injured. And when juries and ordinary citizens in a closed room hear the reality, a lot of these cases are probably not going to be wins for, quote unquote, the woke side. So this lack of honesty is causing conflict.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the problem. In the absence of fact, opinion rules. And the court of public opinion is running rampant, whether it has to do with the replacement of a Supreme Court justice, what is said on the street, as you and I were talking about in Ferguson, for example, this hands up, don't shoot, become a permanent meme, so to speak, was made up. It was concocted by one of Michael Ferguson's friends. This was not the case. I mean, he was charging the police officer after he had a direct encounter with a police officer. In fact, fired a round, as you reported, even in the police car. I mean, going after the police officer's gun. So then the police officer, you know, calls him into question. He turns around and he bull rushes the policeman. Now, this is not some, you know, small teenager. I think he weighed something like 250 pounds, probably 6'3". He's a big boy. And he already had tossed, if you can see in the video footage, moments before, he had tossed the store owner who was trying to stop him from stealing stuff. He threw him into a display rack like he was some sort of rag doll.
Yeah, the real story behind all these cases is very, very different from what's presented in the mainstream left-leaning media. It's often a lot more complex, and not infrequently we find out that the mainstream story is just a complete fake.
Yeah,
in the Michael Brown situation, what happened was that Darren Wilson, the officer in this case, stops Brown for two reasons. He suspects him of being the person who committed a strong-arm robbery, which he apparently was. He robbed another minority individual, a businessman. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Brown was walking, as I understand, directly down the middle of the street. The two men have words. I assume things get heated. And Michael Brown, by all evidence, attacks the police officer. I mean, Michael Brown's DNA was found on Darren Wilson's gun, the slide of the pistol, the trigger guard. They're fighting for a weapon. Darren Wilson finally shoots Michael Brown, which, of course, is tragic. You never want anyone to die. But almost all of the follow-up narrative from that, the things that became part of legend, they just left his body in the street like an animal, quote-unquote, hands up, don't shoot. Brown was walking away, surrendering. None of that seems to be true. People just sort of made it up, and it became part of the story around this case. And it's very, very likely that, you know, Jacob Blake was just there to break up a fight, or George Floyd was murdered without drugs playing any role. Years from now, activists will still be saying these things, because there's a political goal here that goes beyond what happened in the case.
Yes. Well, and the political goal is not the same as the political goal that Martin Luther King Jr. had exampled. He wasn't about destroying the system. He was about reforming the system so that blacks were considered and they were more of an active part and participant in the U.S. Constitution and the benefits therein.
Of course, and King was one of the greatest men ever to live, certainly in this country. I mean, this is an ongoing dispute, by the way, on the radical left. And I would imagine, I don't spend a lot of time in these precincts, but probably on the hard right, all right as well. Mm-hmm. But the question is, can the system be reformed at all? And if not, are reforms actually dangerous to our movement? So one of the things you see often on radical fringes, both sides, is a hostility to repairing the system because that gets in the way of the real goal of, you know, a new communist utopia or whatever the case might be. So with police violence, I think that there are a ton of things, just to list a couple of these, but working on qualified immunity, breaking public sector unions, in my opinion, to some extent, but directory of truly bad cops. I mean, there are a bunch of things that everyone agrees on, left, right, and center.
Right.
I mean, many people on the right are former soldiers, so on, very familiar with law enforcement. But there seems to be a hostility to doing some of that stuff because it gets in the way of the idea of the real goal is abolition. We don't need any of them, which is a crazy idea. Mm-hmm.
But you bring up a great point, is when do we have that moment? How much more of this emotion do we have to endure before we can sit in a room together and reason these things out? Because as you point out, I mean, you just pointed out three very effective considerations that I think would go a long way. I'm an 80-20 Pareto principle kind of guy. You look for those things that, you know, give you 80% of the yield. And I think you just tapped on three significant items that would do that, but we can't do it if we're burning buildings down and caught up in this idea of defunding the police.
Yeah, the issue is that before we have this conversation, we need to get the fanatics out of the room. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of the people that are talking about police reform, again, don't want police reform. They want the abolition of all policing in the USA.
Mm-hmm. They want it all burnt down. That's what they said. Burn it down.
Yeah, but even beyond that, though, even assuming they don't want to set every building on fire, because some of them would probably like to take some from the wealthy and live in them, I mean, the question is there any suggestion for the system that's useful? I mean, and the answer often when you're talking to the fringe is no. Mm-hmm. I believe it was Patrice Cullors that recently issued a statement saying that she doesn't want the police officers in the George Floyd case in jail because there shouldn't be any jails. In addition to being a police abolitionist, she's a prison abolitionist, or if that's the correct term. Mm-hmm. So in a lot of situations like this, the fringe has very little to say. And we see the reluctance to discuss real options, actually, and this is being used politically pretty often, even as you move away from the fringe. I mean, Tim Scott proposed a police reform bill.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, and then
conservative guy, but it included everything we just mentioned. And that bill was stymied. That bill is not going anywhere until at least after the election. So when you look at these conversations, we do need to ask, does this person actually want to get anything done?
Mm-hmm. No, good point. You recently brought up this idea about white fragility. And I don't know if that fits the narrative exactly as much as it is maybe non-black fragility, because I'm not sure, you know, in terms of the white race, because we're so homogenized anymore between the mixed races and that, it's almost like parts of Hawaii. There used to be an island there that you had to be 100% Hawaiian to live on a particular island, and they had to adjust it. I think now it's been reduced. It was 50%. I think it may now even be 25% now because of the mixed races, but nonetheless, we do have this fragility amongst non-blacks that I think you know, at a time that requires courage, and that's what you're talking about right now, is that we still need to stand up for that which is true and right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there are two different concepts here. The academic idea of white fragility is pretty much just nonsensical. It's the idea that because of, you know, our permanent institutional, systemic, invasive, et cetera, racism, white people take less abuse than any other group ever, and so are unprepared to have tough conversations about racism. And this is actually something I want to empirically test. If you confront members of any group with negative stereotypes about them, if you tell whites you think they're racist or perverts, you tell black people you think they're criminals, I would expect about the same negative reaction from any normal human, certainly, you know, the males you questioned. So I don't think there's a lot of value to that concept, but you're right that right now we're seeing a sort of national fragility where people just don't want to talk about. When people say that they want to have an honest conversation about race, they usually don't. I mean, if you were to follow up to someone who said that by saying, well, sure, let's make black crime a part of that, or let's talk about how to really reform policing, very often you're going to see that person almost stumble back and accuse you of bigotry. So, yeah, more of us do need to start demanding an actual, honest conversation about race. And I'll add social class in here. When someone says,
I was going to say, I think it's more class-driven. Yeah, exactly. No, you bring up a good point. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. When someone says we need to defund the police, there's so many police in our working class neighborhoods. I mean, an honest part of that conversation needs to be, well, if you're talking about most black neighborhoods or many poor white neighborhoods, some very recent immigrant neighborhoods, but gosh, there's a lot of crime. What's your proposal for dealing with that crime? What are you going to do with all the old ladies that would be absolutely helpless with no police presence in Harlem or in Appalachia? And I've yet to hear a coherent response from the woke people on that. I mean, someone asked AOC that question. They asked it to her, I believe, about the Spanish Harlem, where she at one point falsely claimed to have found us from. But, I mean, her comment was, well, I think without police, the hood would look like the suburbs. And I don't agree. I think that without police, the hood would look like Dodge City, Kansas. So there's a strong disagreement about core principles here. But, yeah, only honest conversation can be even a first step toward fixing that.
Yeah, how does she make that statement when we already know what parts of New York already looks like without police? We don't even have to do a big experiment. We're seeing it right before our very eyes.
You're those areas.
Yeah, exactly. Dr. Wilford Riley, thank you.
Attention radio listeners, if you're concerned about the coming chaos after the November elections, this will be an extremely important message. Here's why. No matter what the outcome in November, catastrophic social upheaval is a very real possibility. Here's why this is important. Listen, we all know that silver and gold have been historic hedges against the uncertain waves of social chaos and unstable currencies. But did you know that there's been times in the past, during times of extreme hardship, when Americans put another store of value above even silver and gold? It's true. Open-pollinated seeds have been and could very well be the ultimate store of value in the coming hard times ahead. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com to get heirloom seeds below wholesale. Visit SurvivalSeedBank.com this week and get hundreds of dollars in free bonuses. Beat the coming chaos. Beat rising food prices. But above all, don't wait. Beat the crowds by claiming your own Survival Seed Bank today.